Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful service of worship that we've been having so far this morning. And Lord, we thank you because of your eternal purpose and your great love for us. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord, because you chose us in you before the world began. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
That's right, he did. And he put your names in the book of life even before the world began. That's how great his love was for you. Lord, we worship you because of that this morning. And as always, we know, Lord, when that word comes, it brings light. Let it be so this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And open our understanding, Lord, to see, oh, wondrous things out of thy word as it affects us in your eternal purpose in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want the church to be excited this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, so if I say something that makes you glad, I want to hear a shout. And I love it when people shout the praise of the Lord. So let's try that. Let's say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, if you remember the series, The Eternal Purpose of God, we started about 3 weeks ago and so on. And last week, the message, Treasure in Earthen Vessels. Now, all of these messages are on our website at gmichurch.org. So you should listen to some of these things again, because God always brings out, you know, a gem, something in each one of these messages. So you go back and listen to the messages and see how the Lord is going to bless you. Now, this morning, we are continuing in this series of God's eternal purpose. And today, I am going to have to split this today's message into two, so it's not too long. So I'll just preach for not too long this morning, so I don't keep you too long. But today, a royal priesthood. Amen? Oh yes, I had that message marked down about 2.5 years ago that I've wanted to preach it, and the Lord didn't let me do it. You know, it wasn't time. But as I began to seek the Lord for this series, you know, he brought that message right into there, and it will fit in. And there are some great things that are coming. There was a message that I told you last week that I might be preaching, and I wanted to do that, but he led me to do this one instead. So I'm going to be doing this today. It's a royal priesthood. Amen. And well, I'm going to be talking about the priesthood. And so we're going to see what God did in the Old Testament. And we're going to see what he's doing in the New Testament. And we're going to see how that fits into his eternal purpose. Remember the series, God's eternal purpose. So we'll start here. In Exodus, we're going to start at chapter 19. Now remember, this will fit right with the message. And last week I told you a vital part of the message will be continued today. And so we are going to continue the message from last week, which was treasure in earthen vessels. We're going to continue that right here. So Exodus chapter 19 is where we're going to pick up to continue that message from last week. So let's read verse 5. Now therefore, Exodus 19 and 5. If ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant. Remember the message. Treasure in earthen vessels. Now, so if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Amen.
Amen. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now that's where we're going this morning. And an holy nation. Now these are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So, you know, it's like these are the words that the Lord wants me to speak to GMI Church and whoever will be listening to this message later on, you know, this morning. It's for the elect of God, actually. You know, so we will be talking about the kingdom of priests. It's like, you know, right away, because he used the word kingdom there, so it tells you that it's kind of like royalty. Amen? You know, so there is a royal priesthood. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. In fact, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you know, he was referring to this verse that we just read right here. And he brought it out by the Holy Spirit in a different way. but he was referring to this verse. And here's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Talking about, you know, this same concept of the, you know, what God has called us into. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Everybody say royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar, remember he said a peculiar treasure, peculiar people, you know, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Now we're going to be talking about some things, and we are going to end up in a different kind of priesthood this morning. And if we don't get there this morning, we'll get there next time. But, you know, so let's lay a foundation. Let's see, first of all, the qualification in Exodus 19. What are the qualifications? Say, if you will obey my voice. So obedience, we see right there. The first thing, obedience. You know, and, you know, last week I was telling you about the paradox of what God does. When God wants to do something really great, because the heavens of heavens cannot contain God. But he went down to the earth, you know, and he chose to build man out of the earth, which is the lowest that you can go. And he chose to put his glory into that. That's how God works, you know. So, you know, don't keep that in mind as we go through this message. You know, so, but he gave it to them in the garden right there, you know. He said, you know, of every tree that is in the garden, you may freely eat. But of this one over here, you know, that is the knowledge, notice, the knowledge of good and evil. See? He said, don't eat of it, because in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And in this series, we are going, you know, starting this message this morning, we're going to see how that death has been working. I'm going to see the eternal purpose of God to abolish that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he told them from the beginning, he said, you know, but he wanted to do that so he could test their obedience. See? You know, but they couldn't get the job done. Of course, they failed. You know, some of you might know the story. And we'll see some of that as we go through the rest of this series. You know, so, what God wanted in the beginning from Exodus was to make the entire nation of Israel, all of them, the Jewish nation, the entire nation was to make all of them holy priests unto him. All of them. Not just a select few. That's what he wanted. Because he said, if you keep my commandments and my covenant, you will be a peculiar treasure. And you will be priests unto me. He wanted to make all of them. But they couldn't do it through disobedience. See, now disobedience, you know, is the reason why all this sin is in the world today. You know. So through disobedience, they couldn't do it. You know, so now God moved away from that. See, now we're bringing a foundation here. In the beginning, he wanted them all, and they couldn't do it. So he moved away, and he began to narrow it down to a select group. And so in Exodus 28 and verse 1, and also in Exodus 29, verses 4 through 9, he began to bring it down to the line of just Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. Well, because, you know, many of them rebelled against the Lord. They grumbled. They did all kinds of things and so on. You know, so, you know, he did away with that. And in the book of Exodus 28 and 1 and Exodus 29 verses 4 through 9, you know, I'm not going to read all of these scriptures right now because on account of time. But he began to do away with it. And he said that he was now going to choose Aaron and his sons. But I will read some part of Exodus 29 because I want to bring out a viewpoint of what he did here. In Exodus 29, let's look at verse 4 and how he began to commission Moses to set Aaron and his sons apart, and let's see what he asked to do. Now, if you read the whole of Exodus chapter 28, he began to talk about, you know, the breastplate that the priest will wear. You know, so there was a breastplate. And then he said, Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is Exodus 29 and 4. And thou shalt wash them with water. So, you see right there the washing of water by the word. You know, like he said in the book of Ephesians. You know, so Right there, he's typing that the first thing, he said, bring them in and wash them with water. See, and then take, you know, the garments and put upon him the coat and the ephod. See, so now he's going to put that, you know, discerning spirit. He's going to put the cloak of the priesthood upon them now, you know, and then, you know, he's going to put a girdle of ephod upon them. And he said, thou shalt put the mitre, that's like a crown, a little crown. You set it upon his head. You set him apart. You know, you anoint him. You know, and then on top of all of that, you take the anointing oil in verse 7 of Exodus 29, and then you pour it upon his head. Amen? So we see the breastplate. You know, we see the ephod. You know, we see the anointing crown, you know, and then we also see, you know, the oil that's upon him. So he began to prepare them that way, and he's showing things through all of these symbols, and he said, this is the way that you are going to girdle Aaron and his sons and get them ready for the priesthood before me and so forth. And so for many years Aaron and his sons, with the family there, so they came through all of that and so on, and those were the priests for many years in the Old Testament. They were the priests. And I'm going to paraphrase this for you. One of them was also chosen to be a high priest. There were many priests, but I was a high priest. And the high priest had the role of doing certain things beyond what the regular priest did. The high priest would go once a year, with the blood into the holiest of holies and so forth like that. You know, the other priests, they only went so far. But the high priest went a little further, and he only went there once a year and so forth. But we are going to bring out something about that. Now, so that's the background. That's the background to the priesthood. Now, in another place in the Bible, which we are going to see, he calls that the Levitical priesthood. That's all in the book of Hebrews. We're going to see that in a few minutes. He calls that the Levitical priesthood. So all of that they did there, was called the Levitical priesthood. Now, there was nobody given the right to be a priest, except they came in that lineage, from Aaron to Levi and so forth like that, all the way down. So that was the one that God finally chose, because Israel, that he gave the first choice to, they didn't take it, so he did away with them and just chose, just one group there, one lineage there, and they were the priests throughout all their generations, and they kept the anointing, and the Bible said, they should keep the anointing oil, the perpetual fire, and all of these things throughout all their generations. So they did that, But what was the result of all of that? Because every single year, the high priest had to go back and make this sacrifice for sin, for the nation. And all these priests, every time, they made sacrifice for sin, and they did all of these things and so on, And that's how they continued, and they had many ordinances, washings and different things and so forth that they could do. But none of these things could bring forth the real purpose of God, which we are going to drop in a minute. So God, in his foreknowledge, he already knew that was not going to get the job done. So here's what he does. This is what the Lord's going to do, when he already knows things way in advance, just like he put our names in the book of life even before the world began. He already knew everything, so the Lamb was slain before the world began. He already knew about that. Can you say amen?
Yes.
So here's what he does in Genesis chapter 14. Now Abraham, the father of the Jews, I'm sure most of you would know that. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was named Israel. That's the lineage of the Jews. So at that point in time, you might say this Jewish priesthood, that's another way for this Levitical priesthood. It's also called the Jewish priesthood. Abraham was the only Jew, if you want to put it that way, at that time. So his cousin, or nephew rather, Lot got into trouble.
So he went down and, you know, set him free, you know, and so forth. And after the battle, he was coming back, you know, and here's what happened. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 14. This is what happened. In verse 18, and Melchizedek. And we're going to be talking about something this morning and in the next part of this. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, he brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Now this was before the Levitical priesthood. Isaac wasn't even born, let alone Jacob, you know, let alone all of these people and so forth. None of them were born, you know. And just so you know that this was about 500 years before Aaron and his sons were instituted. I'm going to show you a scripture here in Genesis 15 and verse 13. That's Genesis 15 and verse 13, where God said to Abraham, I want you to know of a surety that your seed shall be stranger in a land that is not theirs. Told him in advance. And they shall be in that land 400 years, and they shall afflict them. So he foresaw and he foretold of the captivity of Israel in the land of Egypt for 400 years. This hadn't even happened. Abraham didn't even have a son. Amen. And Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, already met Abraham even before this. Now let's see what the priest of the Most High God did. He took bread and wine. Oh my. And he blessed him. And he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. God is the possessor of heaven and earth, not Abraham. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. You know, and Abraham gave him tithe of all. And he left. And that's all we heard about this Melchizedek. We never heard anything about him until David. Yeah. Now David, in the book of Psalms 110 and verse 4. Now David, and you've heard me say things about David all the time. I said, this man David, he knew how to pierce that veil when he was in the spirit of worship. I mean, he got into some deep things. There are some things that he brought out by the spirit of the Lord in the worship that he was in and in the praise that nowhere else did anybody know about it. Like this one right here. He said, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, yeah. So he spoke about that, and he prophesied it in advance, talking about the Christ. We're talking about the Christ. Now, he prophesied that in advance. Well, let's jump some years ahead here and see what happens. So finally, you know, here comes Jesus. Now, most people know or have an idea of why Jesus came into this world. They say, well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3 and 16. So that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And most people, even Sunday school kids, you know, will venture a meaning for that verse. But by the grace of God in this series, we will show the purpose of God beyond what we have been taught in Sunday school and throughout the ages in the churches and so forth. You know, that Christ, well, of course he did these things. You know, Christ did come into the world to, you know, die for our sins and so forth like that, and to, you know, to be a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means, you know, when somebody is, you know, so good to even pardon the sinner and bless the sinner, you know, in spite of his sins. So Jesus made a way for God to be able to do that to us, you know. So all of that is true, but it is not the whole truth concerning everything that Jesus wanted to do. He falls short of some of the things And by the grace of God, we will be talking about that in this series. So Jesus, he comes upon the scene, and he's speaking with the Pharisees in the book of John, chapter 8. And this is where we are going with this message. Because Jesus begins to tell them, if you want to turn to John chapter 8, he begins to tell them, he said, you know, that ye shall know the truth, in verse 32, and the truth shall set you free. And it said, set us free. We were never in bondage at any time. What do you mean, set us free? We are free. We are children of Abraham. We are not, you know, children of the bondwoman. We are free. So what do you mean, set us free? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin, in verse 34 of John chapter 8, is the servant of sin. So, there is something that Jesus wants to do. In Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the living God is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the good tidings. Deliverance to the captive. Setting at liberty them that are bruised. Opening the prison door, Jesus said. And he went in Luke chapter 4 into the temple. He took the book of Isaiah and read some of that, and he stopped short at the acceptable year of the Lord. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. He came not only, see, this is, you know, and let's begin to see the reason why Jesus came. See, beyond what some of us might have thought. And if you thought deep enough about it, you probably would know that he came for this reason that I'm about to say. You know, but Jesus began to tell them, he said, you know, when the Son of Man shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
They said, no, we were never in bondage, so why should we be set free? You need to set free only those that are bound. Jesus told them, well, if you are ever committed sin, you're already the servant of sin, then if you are a servant, then you are not free. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist, he sees Jesus coming, and here's what he says. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of this world. Now, I want to draw a parallel between what Jesus did and what those priests did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 32 and verse 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man, see, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. See, that's what they did in the Old Testament, cover the sin for 1 year. You know, even till this day, there are certain sects that do this. They go, you know, and say, Father, forgive me for a sin. It has been X number of days before my last confession. And then they say, well, you know, my son, this and that, and so forth. Then he'll tell them, you know, I did this and I did that and so forth like that. And then he'll say, I absolve you in the name of the Father and the Son, whatever. You know, and then they go on right back and do the same thing again, and then they come back for another confession. See, that's just like those high priests used to do. Every year they take those sacrifices, cover up the sin, you know, for a while, and the people, see, but those sacrifices could not remove the conscience of sin.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Lamb that taketh away. Not cover.
Amen.
He taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
What he came to do was eradicate the sin nature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is somebody still with me? Not just your sins are forgiven, then you go right back and commit sin and come back for another confession. No, no, that's not what Jesus came for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's in the Old Testament. Some of you are still living in the Old Testament. Come on to the New Testament, people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the New Testament, he takes away the conscience of sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, when he was telling them back to John chapter 8, he finally told them, he said, look, when they began to boast that, you know, that we are the children of Abraham, we are not in bondage and so forth, Jesus said, look, your father, Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. Hallelujah. And he saw it. And he was glad. Oh my. Every time I read that scripture, I shout. And they said, you are not yet 50 years old. How could you possibly know Abraham? Well, come with me to John chapter 8. Let's read that little exchange with you. He said, if you were Abraham's children, he told them in verse 39, then you would do the work of Abraham. He said, but now you seek to kill me, and I told you the truth. Abraham didn't do any of this, so they, you know, they talk back and forth and so forth. And they said, well, you know, we are, you know, we are the children of God. We are not born of fornication. So even accusing Jesus, that he might have been born of fornication. You know? And Jesus said, well, if God were your father, you would love me because I proceeded and came out from God. But you cannot hear my word, you cannot hear my speech because you are none of God. And so they argued some more, and he told them, point blank, in verse 44, he said, he are of your father, the devil. Because he was a murderer from the beginning. And so they argued to him some more. Finally, he told them, well, he said, your father Abraham, in verse 56, rejoiced to see my day. And he was glad when he saw it. And they told him, now we know you are really crazy. Because you're not even 50 years old. You're barely 30 years old already. You know, and now you're telling us that you have seen Abraham, and listen to his response in chapter 8 of John and verse 58. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was,
hallelujah.
And here comes that voice, the same voice that spoke out of the flame to Moses. Here comes that voice, I am that I am. Oh my, that's before Abraham was. You're looking at Jehovah. Right there. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the name of the Lord? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham saw you. Absolutely. Now who do you think Melchizedek was that met Abraham? Who do you think that figure that met Abraham that we read in Genesis 14 was? There is a new lineage of priesthood. He said, thou art made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now that's Jesus, the high priest. But under him, there are other subordinate priests. But they will not need to make sacrifice for sin every year or every day like the Old Testament did, because Jesus took care of that one time. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Oh, he took care of that. So let's find out how he took care of it. And then I will tell you who this Melchizedek was. Let's see in Hebrews chapter 10 how Jesus took care of it. And I'm going to skip some things here because of time. And I'll come back and finish this off some other time. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says that Jesus, you know, one time, he took care of that sacrifice for sin once and for all. He said, by the sacrifice of himself, he has perfected forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the priests under the Old Testament, their job to bring the worshipper unto perfection, they couldn't do it. They could not bring worshippers unto perfection. And Jesus said in John 4 and 24, he said, God is a spirit. And he's looking for true worshipers that we worship him in spirit and truth. And he has raised up a generation of priesthood to help develop these true worshipers, but they couldn't do it. Because all they did was cover the thing. They covered the thing, and they couldn't bring the worshipers unto perfection. So God sent his Son. Hallelujah. Not only made of a woman, but also ordered to be the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Is it Melchizedek? Why, sure. In Hebrews chapter 7, let's read a little about it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, he's going to talk about this mysterious figure and the whole chapter. And we will continue some of this later on. But for this Melchizedek, Hebrews 7 verse 1, let me just lay this foundation. He was king of Salem. Now the word Melchizedek comes from two Greek words that together mean king of Salem. He said he was also the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now, listen to this Melchizedek. First, being by interpretation, that's the meaning of his name, king of righteousness. And after that, king of Salem, or Shalom. Amen? Which is king of peace. Well, of course, we know, you know, Christ is our peace. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of day, no end of life. Now that's this Melchizedek, this figure that appeared to Abraham. He was without father. He was without mother. Well, there was only one couple that we know that was without father and mother. That was Adam and Eve. Because they were created spontaneously by God. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't come from any monkeys. They came from the living God.
Amen.
Amen. But everybody else since then had a father, had a mother, or somehow. But this figure, the Bible says, without father, without mother, hallelujah. Oh yes, sir. Without descent, there's no lineage that you can find. It's not recorded anywhere. You know, he has neither beginning of days. Oh my. Can somebody say hallelujah? He has no beginning of days. He has no end of life. But he's like unto the Son of God. He abided a priest continually. Oh my. You know, the other priests, they could not continue their priesthood because they died. And every time they died, hallelujah, they had to find a replacement. Because the priest was priest, high priest I'm talking about. The high priest was high priest until he died. Then when he died, well, the office was vacant. So somebody else got appointed as high priest. And then they continued. And then that one died. And then they appointed somebody else. And then that one died. And it went on and on and on like that for centuries. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this one, because he has the power of an endless life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no replacement needed for him. Because his life continues forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he tells you all about it in this chapter of Hebrews 7. But I don't have time to read it all. But here's what I'm going to say. This Melchizedek, who was the high priest of the Most High God, of whom David spoke by the Spirit that says, the Lord has made my Lord. See, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now remember, we've spoken here many times that Jesus is the blueprint. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Romans 8 and 29, he'll tell you that, you know, that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. And those that God already foreknew, he predestined them to become exactly like the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And that's exactly the purpose of God. His purpose goes beyond covering your sins. Amen.
Amen.
His purpose is taking away your sins. That's taking away the very sin nature that you might become like the Son of God. Oh yes. You say, who is exalted above all? Sinless. Oh, we have such a high priest, the Bible says, that is sinless. Amen.
Amen.
And that was Jesus Christ. Now God is calling a new lineage of priests after this same order. And their job is revealed to us in 1 Peter 2 and 9. Their job is not to make sacrifice for sin anymore, because that's already taken care of. Their job is worship. Hallelujah. Now worship is not Sunday service. Worship is a way of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Worship is what you do. That's who you are. You are either a worshiper of God, the true God, Jehovah, or you are not. Hallelujah. So worship, that's what he was looking for. He said that he might show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. And as we go deeper into this message, not today, we will see how that God did all of that. How he's going to take us from that sin nature to where we are sinless and just like him. We will also see how, remember in Romans chapter 6 and 23, as we begin to wind it down, the wages of sin is death. Amen?
Amen.
Wages of sin is death. He said it in every place. The soul that sinneth shall die. Ezekiel chapter 18 and 4. The soul that sinneth shall die. He told them from the beginning. The day that you go against this word that I'm telling you, thou shalt surely die. But they went against it and they died. See? But Abraham, he looked, I mean not Abraham, Adam and Eve, they looked, they thought they didn't die. But they died. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Yes,
oh yes, they sure died. See, that's the, you know, that's the paradox of God. And that's how he says some of these things. You know, like we said in the message last week, you know, sometimes when God talks about something, people are looking at something else. When he talks about building, they are looking for something else. See, when he talks about that you will surely die, you know, they were looking for something else. But of course, they did die. They did die in that one day. No question about that. Because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And none of them ever lived up to that 1,000 years. So they did die in that one day. But nevertheless, they died a different kind of death. A spiritual death. And through disobedience, the Bible says, sin passed unto all and death upon all. And God has to bring one man's perfect obedience to undo all of that. And when he undid all of that, he also undid the wages of sin.
Hallelujah.
And that's where this message is going to take us when we continue. We will see how Jesus has abolished death. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. And he has brought immortality to life through the gospel. You say immortality? Why, absolutely. If any man keep my things, every one of my things, he shall never see death. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus told them in John chapter 8 and verse 51. But you must keep every word of God in order for that to happen. How is he doing it? Well, this is the generation of the people that praise me, says the Lord. This is the generation of the people that he's bringing, a new generation. Hallelujah. The people that will show the world how it is done. Jesus already did one time, and the devil said to the Lord, well, that's because he is the Son of God. And the Lord said, well, okay. Well, we'll find out now. What are you going to say about these other ones now? That will be just like the car. And the devil said to him, not if I have something to say about it. You know, I'm going to make sure that they don't do it. And the Lord said, well, we'll see about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, who do you think is going to win that wager? There is a wager, see, over you. And you are the prize. And the devil said, they'll never do it. Because I guarantee you, they'll never do it. I'm going to make sure. And the Lord said, they'll do it too. And you will see it. But you won't be a part of it. Amen? What will they not do? He said, I'll make sure that they don't receive that eternal glory. I will make sure that they fall from that glory by disobeying your word. And the Lord said, well, I already took care of that. Because the lamb was slain even before Adam committed his first sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's so far advanced of the devil. He's so far advanced beyond the devil. He knows every move. And I told him, before the end of this series, by the grace of God, I will preach the message. Checkmate. And that's probably where we may end the series. And then you'll find out how great God is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to leave that right there for today. What God is doing in this generation of new generation of priesthood, they will come just like the Christ. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Jesus wants to set you free from sin. He came not just to cover our sins anymore, like they used to do in the Old Testament. He said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He takes away that sin nature. He purges you from that conscience of sin, which they couldn't do under the rituals of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And if you are still the kind of person that will I come to God and ask for forgiveness, and then the next day you go right back, well, guess what? You're still living under the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. In the New Testament, Jesus said, this is my blood. Not the blood of goats and bulls anymore. This is the perfect sacrifice. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And he came to do it to take away that sin nature and show that devil that a man can be sinless. Hallelujah. When they are in perfect obedience to the Spirit of God. And he was in perfect obedience. And ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, I invite you today to consider the high priest and apostle of your faith, Jesus Christ. Consider him today. And if you have never known him personally, well, here is an opportunity for you this morning. Hallelujah. And perhaps, you know, this message, maybe it's a little deep for you, and we haven't even scratched the topic. It's just an introduction. But one thing I want you to know is this. God wanted you, all of us, to be a peculiar treasure unto him. And if you will obey, every one of you, with all your heart, obey the word of God, and seek hard after him, and follow the word of God, whatever it says in the word of God, then he says, that you shall be priests unto me. Not only priests, but kings and priests, because it is a kingdom of priests. And we are going to be talking about that next time when we continue the series. We are going to go into the triple, if you might want to put it that way, ministry that they have. Not only are they kings, priests, but also prophets. You know, he brings it all together. Even the book of Revelation says he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank him this morning for such a great, great privilege. Hallelujah. And I read this to you. It says, if therefore perfection were under the Levitical priesthood, then, you know, under which the people received the law, if there was perfection under that priesthood, then there should have been no need for another priest. But for finding fault with them, he did away with that and brought Jesus Christ. And he called him after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And because this man, this new high priest, because he continues forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is also able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, because he liveth forever to make intercession for them. If you are here this morning, we have a new high priest. Not one that you go to on the day of confession and say, Father, I have sinned and done this and that, and then you go right back. No, we have one that shed his own very blood. And not only did he cover your sin, no, he did beyond that. He took away the sin. And if you will surrender your life unto him, you will have the power to live a sinless life. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise.
Hallelujah. If you are hearing the message this way for the first time, I want to invite you to receive the grace of God into your life. Because the Bible says the grace of God has appeared unto all men.
Yes.
Teaching us that denying of godliness,
yes,
and worldly love, we should forsake all the, you know, terrible things in this world and live a sober, righteous, and holy life before God. I want to invite you this morning. We like to do this in every service. We don't want to take any chance. This may be the last service that you ever attend, because nobody can guarantee the next day. Hallelujah. And if you are here and you have not made reconciliation with your God, if you are still living in the Old Testament and you have not received the grace of God under the New Testament through the blood of Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him today as your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed in this place. Every head bowed. If you need prayer, you need deliverance from darkness, and you want to be a child of God today, maybe you are hearing this message for the first time. I know most of the people here are church-going folks. And most of the people here are believers. But there may be somebody here who wants to give their life to Christ today. If that's you this morning, or perhaps you have wandered away from the Lord, and this message touched your heart this morning, and you want to come on home, the Lord is married to the backslider. If that's you this morning, with every head bowed in this place, I want to see your hand up so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you praise and we give you glory, Lord. Thank you for the word of God, which has gone forth this morning, and an understanding that you have given us. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you for delivering us from the very sin nature. Thank you for giving us a high priest over the house of God, who has shed his blood, having now boldness to enter in by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Every one of you, I want you to come to the throne of grace this morning boldly and receive grace from God in your life to move on to perfection. Hallelujah. I want you to pray this prayer with me, everybody that's in this place. I say, Lord, I receive your grace. Everybody. To move on to perfection. That you will deliver me from the body of sin. From the sin nature. And help me to grow into the image of the Son of God. And everybody said amen.
Yeah.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, he can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus.